We're in a brief series just simply titled Praise. And as we've talked about last week, and AJ mentioned this morning, and we sang about it even, we are a people that God has formed for himself, his own special people, to praise him. I want to read it again, 1 Peter 2:9. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. This is who we are, the people who proclaim his praise. And he is so worthy of our praise. You know, when going through a series like this, that I feel like for a lot of people, it's somewhat new. I mean, certainly they know that we're supposed to praise the Lord, but when you start talking about a lifestyle of praise and just praising the Lord all of the time, it can sound a little extreme and a little wild, but I just believe that God is going to bring new victories, new freedoms into our lives as we learn to walk in this, the truth of his word about praise. This is who we are, and we are a blessed people. We have so much to praise him for. Now, I just want to mention to you, we don't praise the Lord with a long face. Now, don't misunderstand me. We should praise the Lord even when we're sad or going through a hard time. But I just want to say to you, we don't praise him with a sad voice. We need to be careful that we're praising the Lord with the joyful tone, with a cheerful heart, that we're glad. You know, we got to put on that garment of praise that we talked about. In Psalm 9, 1 and 2, it says, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. I want you to notice here in verse 2, he says, I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. We need to understand that part of the lifestyle of praise, we're going to really live this out. We have to learn to rejoice all the time, to always be glad, always be joyful. The Bible says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Always and again, I say rejoice. It's not just for when things are going right. How often does that happen for you? I mean, do you have a lot of days where everything just goes right, everything falls into place? Not most things, but everything goes right? If you do, I want to talk to you. We all want to know your secret. Because most of us, there's always something. There's always some kind of, I mean, even if you have a great life, the Lord's just really blessed you. It's amazing how there can always be something that's awry. I mean, if you don't have something that's not going right, somebody else can share theirs with you. You know what I'm saying? It's just, it's always something. So it's not just when things are going right. No, we have to learn to rejoice in the Lord, even in the midst of difficulty. That's why the scripture tells us always. That's where the issue is. Because if the scripture just said, rejoice, period, it would kind of leave it open to us to say, okay, well, I'm going to rejoice, but then I'm going to complain and be sad and upset and mad, but I'll rejoice some. I'll get that in there some. I want you to know, the Lord has something better for you than that. And we need to understand that learning to rejoice always is a part of that equation. I mean, you know, it's easy to rejoice when you just got a raise, when you just got a new car, when you got an A on your exam, when you got a clear bill of health. I mean, when your test results come back and the cancer is gone, it's easy to rejoice. But what about when you didn't get that A? What about when you're driving an old car and it breaks down on the side of the road? What about when you get that bad report? What about when you got fired from your job? What are you going to do then? Here's what we're supposed to do scripturally. Rejoice always. You see, that's where the trouble, if you were to call it that, comes for us. It's that always. So we need to get free. We need to get victory in this area so that we can truly be the people God wants us to be, and we can live in that abundant life that Jesus wants us to be living. Because I want you to know something. Sad and mad and all bent out of shape and upset about things and no. That doesn't sound like an abundant life. That doesn't look like an abundant life. And I just want you to understand, yes, we all go through things, but we need to learn to be glad, to be joyful, to be cheerful, to be rejoicing, even through the hard places of life. And this rejoice in the Lord always, again I say rejoice, it's not an isolated command. This is a teaching and a truth that runs through Scripture. So what does it mean to rejoice? We need to know what it really means if we're going to live it out in our life. The Greek word here is kairo, and it means to be cheerful, joyful, and glad. Cheerful, joyful, and glad. Always. Cheerful, joyful, and glad. Always. See, there's a time to shout. There's a time to dance. But we're supposed to be cheerful, joyful, and glad always. Always. This is what the Lord wants in our life. That Greek word is often translated as glad or joyful. But the Greek word that's used for rejoice or glad or joyful, it's used 74 times just in the New Testament. 74 times it tells us to be cheerful, glad, rejoice. Oh, we need to learn how to do this better in our life. See, there's just too many sad Christians and even more mad Christians. We're supposed to be glad. We got so much to be glad about, so much to be cheerful about, so much to rejoice in all the time. Now, if I do an honest assessment of my own attitude and actions, I got to admit that I got a lot of room for improvement. Anybody else? I mean, you know, when we were both really, really sick Wednesday. In fact, you know, Carmen and I talked about it. It might have been about the sickest I've ever been in a single day. Just terrible, terrible. And, you know, I got to face some of this head on. You know what I'm saying? I mean, when you feel that bad, rejoice. I praise the Lord as my healer. I praise Him as my healer. Oh, I rejoice in the promises of God and His faithfulness. But I'm just saying to you that, yes, it can be so difficult sometimes. And we just have to be real with ourselves about it. Yes, it's not always easy. But you see, when we begin to rejoice, it helps us. It helps us get victory. It helps us get turned around. We just need to understand this is the way we're supposed to live all the time. Let me give you a few reasons why we should rejoice all the time. First of all, people like to be around somebody that's happy and cheerful and glad. Now, some people, they're okay with being around a grump. I know that because I'm grumpy sometimes. And my wife, she hangs around me anyway. She's like, it'll pass, it'll pass. But I'm just saying to you, people like to be around somebody cheerful and happy, glad, joyful. They don't want to be around that yuck all the time. Second, this goes right along with the first one, being cheerful and glad is a great witness to other people that our God is real and that He's faithful. And that even when we're going, even the world can be all happy and cheerful when something falls into place for them and they get some big victory in some area of their life. Anybody can be happy then. But in the midst of struggle and test and trial, you're still cheerful and glad. That is a great witness of our God. And third, this one goes right along with that. See, it brings glory to God. It honors the Lord. You see, when we focus on the goodness of God and we talk about the promises of God and what God has done for us, He's glorified. Fourth, when we rejoice, now this one's not going to go down real easy, but it's true, it makes us happier. It'll help you get there. Now, most people think it's opposite. Now, wait a minute. If I was happy, if everything's going right for me and I was happy, I would rejoice. And if you live by that rule, if you live by that attitude, I'm going to tell you, you're going to have a whole lot of life that you're not very glad. A whole lot of life. Every once in a while, things will just go your way and you get happy for a moment and now you're glad and you're cheerful. It's all, but it doesn't last. And what's the goal here? I'll tell you, the Lord wants us to be at a place where we are just glad, we are cheerful all the time. And when we begin to obey the Scripture, it's amazing how when you decide, you know what, I'm going to be glad, I'm going to be cheerful, it's amazing how that things, God will begin to move in new ways. But even beyond that, just in your own heart, you will learn to develop this attitude of being able to rejoice all the time. Now, the fifth reason that we should always do this is just because the Word of God tells us to. The Scripture says, rejoice in the Lord always. I'm going to say it again. Rejoice. When the Scripture tells you to do something and you do it, you know what happens? It opens the door for blessings in your life. Oh, you want to always do what the Scripture says to do. Don't listen to this crazy world or crazy religious people who say it doesn't matter what you do. That's a lie. It brings blessings in our life when we do what the Word of God tells us to do. I mean, we're supposed to be living this abundant life, not a sad, grumpy, mad life. No, a life where we are rejoicing all the time. So I want to learn to rejoice always. Here's a little quiz just for fun. See how we're doing on our rejoicing always. Number one, little quiz for you, all right? And just see how you're doing. Number one, you're in the 10-item cash-only line at the store with your two cans of green beans, one can of Campbell's cream of mushroom soup, pimentos, and fried onions. You got your cash in hand. The person in front of you has got 15 items and a checkbook sticking out of their back pocket. How do you respond? You rejoice about the... First choice, A, you rejoice about the family dinner time and green bean casserole that you're going to enjoy later. Some of you figured that out, right? You grit your teeth and wonder if the guy ahead of you failed math or reading or both. Or C, you yell at the cashier, checkout violation, 15 items. How you doing so far? Question number two, your teenager calls you to tell you they just rear-ended a BMW. How are you going to respond? Are you going to respond with rejoicing because nobody got hurt and the Lord is your provider? Or B, grit your teeth and tell your teenager how stupid they are? Or C, call your insurance company and tell them that this is some kind of insurance scam? What's it going to be? Number three, you receive a letter from the IRS stating that you're going to be audited. How do you respond? You rejoice that you live in America, the land of the free and the home of the brave. B, you go into a panic and you call your accountant. C, you get on Facebook and you go into a rant about tax oppression in the USA. Question number four, you're driving to work and you sit through a red light. When it finally turns green, the person in front of you doesn't go because they're sitting there playing with their phone like a... So A, you just rejoice for the extra moment to pray and just be at peace and trust in the providence of God. You're going to get where you need to be. B, you grab the steering wheel tighter and you feel your blood pressure begin to rise. Or C, you honk your horn continuously until you have honked out in Morse code, move your car. Right? Which one? So I hope that you didn't flunk. But here's the thing. This message this morning is about helping us learn to rejoice always. We can learn. Amen? We have more reasons to rejoice than any generation that has lived before us. I'm talking about just the things of the natural. We have so much. And yet depression is epidemic. People are so discouraged, so disillusioned and distraught, upset and angry all the time. And that's not the way that we are supposed to live. That's not the way we're supposed to be. Don't misunderstand me. If you are depressed, I love you. And God loves you. But you need to understand that's not the way it's supposed to be. God wants you to be a person that is glad and cheerful and joyful. And we need to get this truth so we can overcome. See, some of you, you're angry, angry, angry. The Lord wants you to get free. It's so much better to be joyful, to be rejoicing, to be cheerful. So much better. But we got to learn to do this. That's what the Lord wants for us. Rejoice in the Lord always. You know, it just sounds like one of those Christian cliches. Just a nice little, you know, thing to say. Christian rhetoric. But we need to live it out so that we're not just hearers of the word only, but doers of the word. It brings a blessing in our life. But here's one of the things that I see throughout the scripture is that the people of God oftentimes go through trouble and heartache and tragedy even. And yet, we're supposed to be a happy people. The Bible says in Psalm 144 and verse 15, happy are the people whose God is the Lord. You know why? Because with the Lord, there's always hope. With the Lord, there's always a way. He's the way maker. See, with the Lord, it doesn't matter what we face. We know that in the end, we're going to be all right because we're going to be with Him. I'm just telling you, we ought to always be happy. There's a reason to rejoice when you know the Lord. It doesn't come naturally. What I mean by that is it's not our natural human nature to rejoice all the time. But the Holy Spirit who inspired the scripture, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And He tells us, rejoice always. I'm going to say to you, this is written for real people with real problems, living real lives. And the person that the Holy Spirit used to write it was the Apostle Paul. This was a man that was so consumed with his calling and purpose in life. He went from town to town, telling people about Jesus, preaching Jesus. And he left behind him a trail of Christians and churches. Amazing how that God used him so mightily. And then he's arrested. He's put in prison. He can't do what he was doing before. This is what he lived for, was to fulfill that calling. And now he's stuck in prison. And he writes from prison. From prison he writes the book of Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Maybe he's just gone crazy. Or maybe he understood some things that believers today need to understand. That being happy and joyful and cheerful isn't about having all your ducks in a row and everything goes perfect for you. They miss a key phrase in here. It's rejoice in the Lord. In the Lord. It's amazing how sometimes we get our eyes on all of the stuff of this world instead of keeping our eyes on the Lord. But the Apostle Paul lived this out. He's persecuted, thrown in prison. In many ways, it appears that his mission has been hindered. Now, we know that God just used him in another way. And the gospel was still furthered even because of his chains. But how hard it must have been for him to go through that. And yet he says, rejoice in the Lord always. I mean, if anybody ever had a right to a big pity party, it was him. But he didn't do it. Instead, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Now, if you have your Bible, you might just flip over to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to keep coming back to it. We're not going to stay there, but we'll keep coming back to it. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. This isn't just a strange word from him this one time. He says the same thing in 1 Thessalonians 5:16. He says, rejoice always. How can we rejoice always? It is not just a fake smile. You know, I mean, we should smile. Amen. But it shouldn't be a fake smile. It's more than just, on Sunday, I'm going to get my praise on. You should get your praise on Sunday. But it's more than that. It's something that we live every single day. We are glad all the time, always. You know why? Well, we've always got things to rejoice about. Let me just remind you of a few things this morning. Jesus said in Luke 10:20, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You know what that means? That you know the Lord? That you've got a relationship with God? Here's the biggest reason to rejoice. Your name is written in heaven. He knows my name. I'm his friend. I'm walking with the Lord. I got something to rejoice about no matter what happens to me. Next, we ought to rejoice just to have him in our homes. I don't know if you've ever thought about this. When Jesus saw the little man Zacchaeus up in a tree, you know, that little thieving tax collector who stole from people, he says, Zacchaeus, come down. Today, I'm coming to your house. Some of you, you think you're too far gone for Jesus. No. Luke 19:6, it says, he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Now, the word joyfully there, same word for rejoice. Oh, Zacchaeus got happy. He was cheerful. He was glad. He rejoiced that Jesus was coming to his house. And if you know the story, you know what happens next, that Zacchaeus was saved that day. Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house. I mean, it changed, it transformed his life. Started with this, I'm coming to your house. And he got all happy. You need to have this in your home, that you realize that Jesus is in your home. That's something to rejoice about. Well, the AC ain't working. If you've got Jesus in that home, that's better than air conditioning. I know in Texas that sounds like blasphemy, but I'm just telling you, Jesus in your house, that's something to be excited about. And you know what? Maybe today when you get home for lunch, before you pray over your food, pray over your food. Before you pray over your food, maybe you just realize and just say, Lord, welcome into my home. In fact, I've heard of people doing this before, and it's not a bad idea at all. Maybe you just go ahead and set a place for Jesus and just say, Lord, we're glad that you're here with us. But that's something to rejoice about. I mean, if you're a born-again believer, you got to believe Jesus is in your home. Amen. We ought to always rejoice in the great things the Lord has done. Luke 13, 17, all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. I'll tell you, those people, those same people, they had such a short memory. Some of those people were the very ones who were crying out, crucify him later. The children of Israel had that short memory problem. When God delivered them out of Egypt, he parted the Red Sea. It was amazing, all the miracles that God did. But then in the wilderness, they forgot about all that, and they started saying, we want to go back to Egypt. And a lot of Christians are just like that. They forget about all of the great things that God has done in their life. They're going through a hard time. The one thing you need to do is go back and remember, I remember God got me through that. He'll get me through this. See, don't forget all the great things, but rejoice in the things that God has done for you. Rejoice in what God has done for others. Amen. And we should always rejoice because we always have hope. Romans 12, 12, rejoicing in hope. See, that's one of those things that even when the disappointments come and the hard times come and you're down, wait, I'm going to hope. I'm going to hope in God. Rejoicing in hope. Always a reason to rejoice. Yeah, it's hard to rejoice when you're sick, but you rejoice that you have a healer. Amen. We ought to rejoice about what God is doing in the lives of others. I mean, heaven breaks out in a celebration when one sinner turns in repentance to God. John 4:36, it says, and he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. We rejoice in the lives that are being changed. We rejoice, you see, because we have a part in that. We rejoice together, it said. All of us have a part in that. How do you have a part in that? Well, you have a part in that in your work for the Lord, whatever you do for the Lord. You have a part in that through your prayers. Prayer's what gets it done. The work doesn't matter without prayer because it takes God's power for it to happen. So you have a part in that through your prayer. And you have a part in that through your giving. That's being a part of the Lord's work. But we all rejoice in lives being changed because we have a part in that. And guess what? There is a reward, he says, in our eternal life. Next, we need to rejoice when we're persecuted. There's a reason to rejoice. What? Wait a minute. I want to say this very plainly. There are a lot of heretics and false teachers saying that we need to get mad. Y'all are real quiet. I know. I live in this world. I see all this garbage going on. We need to take up arms and fight. We're not going to let them persecute us. We're mad. Well, you can listen to false teachers or you can listen to Jesus. I'm going with Jesus. Because that life, that's yuck. What does Jesus say? Here's one example. There's several of these, but Matthew 5:12. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Wow. I mean, I'm not trying to play the martyr. I don't want to go out and look for somebody to persecute me. But when we're persecuted, rejoice. Be really, really glad. Because you got a great reward. Have you lived a life as such that somebody would bother to persecute you because you love God and you serve God with all your heart? Rejoice in that. Y'all way too quiet in this part. I know I hit a nerve right now because I know what's being said by a lot of preachers in our culture, and it's wrong. You show me that stuff in the scripture, and especially in the teachings of Jesus. We ought to rejoice always about other people that are doing good spiritually. 3 John 3:4, he says, I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, that just as you walk in truth, he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You see, we ought to just take great joy in seeing others who are turning to God and serving God and growing in the Lord. How often we just take things for granted instead of rejoicing in those things. Next, you ought to rejoice with those who rejoice. Romans 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice. You don't have anything to rejoice about. You're just kind of in a place right now. Well, guess what? Find somebody that something's going good for. Find somebody that's happy, that's cheerful, and you just step in and you just join in with them. Rejoice with them. Let me tell you how not to do it. Back 2006, my wife had been driving a beat-up old car, and I got to a place where I could buy her a new one. I bought her a Pontiac G6, black, chrome wheels. Oh, I thought that car was so pretty. And so I brought it down to the church, and I showed it to somebody, you know, so they could rejoice with me. I mean, I was just excited about it. I wanted to show it to somebody, you know. He said, that's nice. I will never forget it. It's been like 18 years ago, and I'm like, it was like he was so jealous or envious or thought I must make too much money. I don't know what it was, but it was so icky. Let me tell you how to keep the blessings of God away. Be envious and jealous of other people. You know, they're excited and rejoicing and you want to throw a wet blanket on it? Don't worry, it ain't going to happen to you. I'm preaching good right now. You want the blessings of God to overtake you? Rejoice with other people. When God blesses somebody, rejoice with them. See, here's a reason that you can find daily to rejoice. Even when you're in a hard place, there's somebody you can rejoice with. Y'all hear this kind of stuff on the radio all the time, right? That was sarcasm, y'all. I really like sarcasm, but I realize others get tired of it. Rejoice when others are honored. 1 Corinthians 12:26, if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. That's the way it's supposed to be. You don't compare, you don't judge, you don't criticize. It's a sin. Instead, you rejoice with them. How can we always rejoice? We're going to go back to Philippians 4. We're going to stay here more now. So Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to work our way through. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. First of all, know that you can. He doesn't tell you to do something that you can't do. And the fact that he tells us in an imperative tone means that it's something that we have to choose to do, that we can do it. It's an act of our will. We have to choose to do it. Rejoice always. Third, we rejoice in the Lord, always in the Lord. It can't be based on situation and circumstance. It is based on our relationship with God. Rejoice in the Lord, not in. How am I supposed to rejoice when I'm in this situation? Don't rejoice in your situation. Rejoice in the Lord. He's the source of our joy and the cause of our rejoicing. Verse 5, let your gentleness be known to all men. the Lord is at hand. Now, the word gentleness, all the different translations, there's so many different words they use, and none of them really tell the full meaning of it. The King James says, let your moderation be known to all men. The New American Standard says, let your forbearing spirit be made known to all men. And you see, what I want you to understand is that what it's talking about is that we don't allow things to get to us. We don't get all bent out of shape. We don't get all upset and all wound up. Why? The Lord is at hand. He's right here with me. Oh, but this is bad. Look who's with me. Look who's with me. I don't have to get upset. Don't you know what happened today? No, I didn't watch the news. What are you, an idiot? You need to know what's going on. This terrible thing happened. I'm still not upset. The Lord's still with me. You want to know how you can rejoice always? The Lord's with you always. See? And you need to let that be seen. Let your moderation, your gentleness, your forbearance be known to all men. You need to let other people see whatever's going on. I'm still going to rejoice because the Lord is with me. I'm not going to lose my joy over that. But instead, we're the same every day. Rejoice in the Lord always because the Lord is near. And that's the key. We don't have to lose our cool because He's with us. He's with us when we're riding in the car. He's with us when we're in the store at the checkout line and that person is in the wrong line. He's with us, you see, whatever we're facing. He's with us when we're in the doctor's office. He's with us, whatever's going on. And He's God. And there's not anything that is beyond Him. With God, all things are possible. I see part of the problem here is a lot of people get upset with God. You can trust in His providence and His timing. Believe me, He knows best. So we trust Him. Nothing is hard for God. So why should we get upset and rattled when God is with us? The judge of all the earth, He will always do right. He's going to make it right. He's going to work it together for our good. And I've experienced this over and over and over where stuff happens and I get bent out of shape and I get all upset. And then a lot of the time, it just works out. Now, I said that the wrong way on purpose, because I want to make the point, it just worked out. That's not how it happens. It's Romans 8:28. He works all things together for the good of those who love God and are the called according to His purpose. It's God that worked it out. It wasn't fate or chance. It was God that worked it out. And I'm just saying to you that, you see, so often we lose our joy, our gladness of heart, when all the time we could have stayed in that place just rejoicing, still a smile on our face and in our heart too. But we got to remember that the Lord is with us and He's working things out. All the stress and the griping and the irritation or getting depressed, none of that changes it, but God can. So don't let Satan steal your joy, but instead, you keep pressing on by faith and rejoicing in the Lord. And you know what? When you rejoice in the Lord, even when bad times come and you praise God, listen to me. If Satan got your goat, sorry, that's country boy stuff. Listen, if you got all bent out of shape and you're all upset and you're mad, and, oh, you're in a panic, I want you to know something. Satan just found a button. He's going to come back and he's going to try to poke it again and again and again. Look what happens. But instead of that getting you all bent out of shape and all upset, you start rejoicing in the Lord. You start praising the Lord as the one who's going to bring you through. That is not at all what he wants. Now you do that enough times, I want to tell you, he's going to start avoiding that button. Okay. I'm just telling you, Satan watches what your reaction is to things. The next key is real obvious. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. See, everything that would keep you from rejoicing, you need to bring that to God in prayer. And you need to pray until the peace comes. Let me say it another way. We should pray until we can rejoice. Verse 7, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And here's the next key. You see, when you've prayed through and the peace comes, that peace is supposed to guard your heart and mind. But I just want to tell you something. If you go back to thinking on the same old junk and being all, you know, focused on all of that, you're going to end up with no peace. You're going to end up in a place where you can't rejoice always. That's why the very next verse, it tells us this. Verse 8, meditate on these things. Think on these things over and over. That's what that means, meditate. Think on these things over and over. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. No matter what else you do, if you think on negative things, it's going to be really hard for you to be able to rejoice, to be glad, to be cheerful. You got to change the way you think. You got to change your focus. If you don't, you'll always struggle and you'll live a substandard Christian life. Don't think about the lies. Don't think about all the things that are immoral and unjust. Don't think about all the things that are impure. Don't think about all the ugly things and all the bad news and the things that bring you down. He says, don't think about those things. He says, think about these things, the things that are praiseworthy, the things that are pure and just, true, holy. These are the things we focus on. You think about these things. You see, when you shift your mind where you're thinking about these kinds of things, it's not so hard to rejoice always. So much better to be cheerful and glad and happy. But this is where this becomes a real issue. This is the crux of this, is that you see, so many of us are bound up right here in what we think, and we just fall back into that pattern again and again and again. You need to break that old chain. You need to make up your mind. I'm gonna tell you, I use Facebook because, believe it or not, it's the best way for a pastor to kind of keep up with what's going on with people. But sometimes I have to take a break. And sometimes I even unfollow people because I just can't take that overload of garbage, of every negative and horrible thing imaginable, just constant yuck. I want to think on these things, the things that are true and pure and just and lovely and holy, praiseworthy. I want to think about those things. And I'm saying to you that, you see, you might have to avoid some things or even some people who are always bringing you down, always creating this atmosphere where your focus becomes negative instead of focusing on Him. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Five simple things. Well, really six. Decide to do it. There's so many reasons to rejoice. The Lord is with you. If there's things that are troubling you, pray. Pray through. And then think about the right things. Don't let this stuff back in. Guard your heart and mind. But I want to close with this from Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. This is also in the Old Testament, you see. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Yeah, it's easy to rejoice when everything's going good, but that's not at all the picture that Habakkuk paints here. You know, he's talking about a terrible, terrible year. And we may not relate to talking about crops and livestock. But you see, when there's no money in the bank account, when all of your efforts seem to be fruitless and not getting anywhere, when you've tried everything you know to do with your kid and it doesn't seem like you can get them head in the right direction, you see, whatever's going on, decide, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, because He is the one who can turn it around. And when we do that, you see, it just releases our faith. It is an expression of our faith. It shows the Lord that we believe. When we decide to rejoice in spite of those circumstances, I will yet rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Don't allow yourself to start questioning the Lord. So many people, they get bent out of shape, and eventually they get out of church and they turn away from God. You see, we got to keep our heart right, that we are always rejoicing in the Lord. Whatever we're facing, we know that God is more than enough. And so we rejoice in Him. And I want to say this one more time. Rejoice in the promises that He makes. Those promises are for you. And in the darkest time, you see, you can still rejoice, because there is a promise for every situation. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray, and we're going to let you be dismissed.